It's the Mayo Football Podcast, your weekly dip into the highlights on our patreon.com/Mayo Podcast feed. Yes, that's where you'll get one podcast after another as Mayo going through the league championship as the Mayo football scene continues right on into the winter months. And on this very week as you join us, we're looking back at a pretty important week. Let me just check the results there. It looks like Mayo 119, Kerry 17 points in Fitzgerald Stadium. That sounds like a big one, John Gunnigan.
It does, doesn't it? It has a nice ring to it. I was listening to the radio this morning. It was on in the kitchen, Rob. I think it might have been News Talk. Pat Kenny was on, and they were going through the sport. And the lady who was summarising all the sport, and she got round to Gaelic football, and she said, "And Mayo thrashed Kerry down in Killarney." I said, "Whoa, I'm not sure if we actually thrashed them, but I kind of like the sound of that on national radio."
Yeah, I do too. I think that definitely works. And again, I tend to concur with you. I think if David Clifford had put one of those goal chances in, I think it would have been less of a margin. That's for sure. But winners from pillar to post, I should say, Mayo winning in Killarney. So what we're going to do on this little dip into our podcast feed from the week for all of you listeners around the world who tap into our feed, for many of you who are on the Mayo GA blog each week, we want to just give you a little bit of highlights of what's on the podcast. And we're going to take you on a little journey through the week. Last week on the podcast starts with the preview of the game. Sometimes you might think to yourself, what did the lads be talking about beforehand? Are they anywhere in the zone of possibly being right? So what you're going to hear about here is Tony Lean sounding very, very Oracle-esque as he laid out a possible scenario in this contest. Now, Tony had spent most of the podcast at this point trying to convince us that this is going to be a close game, but forgetting the fact that we actually thought we had a chance. So what led into this particular bit, and you'll hear the very end of me saying this, was me just pointing out to him that I'm not so sure people should be writing off the league victory for Mayo over Kerry, I said to Tony. And I said, there are some question marks over this Kerry team. So I put all that to him. His response was quite funny because he had been trying to tell this to us. But we were saying, hey, listen, the point is we think we have a chance. Have a listen to this. Tony Lean on with both myself and Biddy Joe Padden on Wednesday.
And that's the reason I said about, you know, the importance of showing up and the importance of a performance and results following performance and all that malarkey. Like, the bottom line is, if Mayo show up with a performance, Mayo's quality is at a level where that performance in 18, 19 situations out of 20 results in a victory. And so, you know, you are talking, if both sides show up the next day and we have an absolute heavyweight title fight between two real serious contenders, then you are going to have a serious game of football. I mean, Jack O'Connor, you know, he spoke to the media there on Monday, and he used phrases like, we were steamrolled in Castle.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. He's trying to develop a kind of a slight here now, going, we have a point to prove.
That was our most disappointing performance of the last 2 years. He said, like, so they were, I mean, in fairness, I remember speaking to him a couple of weeks afterwards, and I says, what was training like on the Tuesday night after Castlebar? And he says, we didn't have to say anything. And he said, the players took it. They knew it was a shambles above in Mayo. I would say there were some extenuating circumstances. I'm not going to pretend that it wasn't. Obviously, I think Kerry were certainly depowered to some degree, and Mayo were literally flying out of the gates. Irrespective of all of that, I'm looking at the Mayo side. This is my interpretation of it, lads. I'm looking at the Mayo side that for 6 weeks in the spring were the best side in the country. They won a National League final. They dug it out. It can't always be sunshine and roses every day. They ground out a victory. They had a bad day against Roscommon a week later. Everything then was they were permitted then to cool the jets, to settle thing down. And that's why the very first question I asked you when we started this pod was, how many weeks ago was that? So they've had 6 weeks of curating that squad, of working on things, of fine-tuning things. They have an unbelievable management team with an unbelievable coaching pedigree. Everybody is very, very much on the same page in that management group. Kevin McStay is running, I know he's a friend of this podcast, but I know from independent people. He's running a very good ship there. He's very popular with his colleagues. He's very popular with the players. I would imagine, genuinely, lads, Mayo are coming to Killarney this weekend locked and loaded. I would be amazed if they don't produce a serious performance and lay some serious punches on Kerry. Because, whatever way you want to say it, Kerry's National League was, it was just a question of getting through it. That's basically what we were with the league. With the best will in the world to Tipperary and Clare, Kerry were never losing either of those games. So in terms of the fat being in the fire, how far do you want us to go back? July 2022? Don't forget that, lads. Don't forget that. We could all be sitting there in the sun in Killarney on Saturday afternoon at 20 past four, kind of going, Kerry can't flick a switch here. This has gone wrong. What's after happening? Mayo come out of the traps. They've performed magnificently. You know, they can't get it going. Are we going to look inside? Is David Clifford going to dig Kerry out of a hole again? Is Sean O'Shea? You know, so it's one of those ones where I absolutely and fully expect this. The plus or minus on this for me is a guaranteed inside 5 points. That's my view. It's a guaranteed inside 5 points either way for me.
Great stuff from Tony. Always a pleasure to have him on the podcast. I think he asked more questions of me and Billy Joe than we got to ask of him. Such was his interest in what was going on. But his match report in the Examiner this week as well, John, was absolutely brilliant.
It was brilliant. It was a great chat, I thought. And the way that he engaged in it by asking all those questions made it an even better chat. And I think it teed up the game really nicely, as did Kevin McStay the previous week, because of course when you put it to Kevin that, oh yeah, we're going down to meet the All-Ireland champions, and he very correctly said, yeah, but we're the league champions, and we thought maybe, oh, that's a bit of bravado, isn't it? But by Jesus, his lads fairly backed it up on Saturday.
One other element of our pre-game coverage that I just wanted to pick out for our listeners here on this feed was Billy Joe Paddon. One of the questions I wanted to ask him, because he had mentioned something in the column about maybe Ryan O'Donoghue not being on the ball as much in the Roscommon game. I just wanted to ask him about Ryan O'Donoghue, and I thought his answer, I thought today when we were going back over the clips, his answer was really kind of relevant to how Ryan played in the contest and the fate that Billy Joe has in Mayo's key man in the forward line.
Oh, well, look, you know, Ryan is a player that, you know, he started out playing for Mayo, kind of centre forward, and coming out and showing the bravery that he has, the quickness, his ability to pick up a breaking ball and do those things. In his first couple of appearances for Mayo, he showed those sort of attributes. Now, in the last two seasons, he's shown that he can also do that from being inside and being in close to goals. He's probably one of the best footballers in the country, even though he's not that big at winning a mark in the modern the way the game is played now. He can win the ball out in front, and he's really good hands that if the ball comes to him, he's able to stick onto it, to hold onto it. So I think he'll try and be winning marks, which what he has done in the past. He's obviously, you know, a brilliant finisher for goals. So I expect him to have, not so much to have the freedom of the forward line, but to utilize that freedom that he has to get on the ball. And I think that's as much to do with the other players around him, because he's very good at opening up spaces for other players as well. Whether that, you know, he a lot of the time the passes he plays, whether it's a short dinked kick pass or a hand pass, it's a pass with information. You know, it's a pass that tells the receiver what you need to do next. You know, he's got that sort of cleverness, that sort of player. But there's another thing that I think, and I've probably from knowing Ryan a little bit, both from Belmullet, he backs himself. He sees himself as one of the best footballers in the country. He will see down the other end of the field David Clifford and Paddy Clifford and Sean O'Shea, and he will say to himself, this is a huge day, sunny, you know, massive crowd. The championship, if anything, starts here now for the country, you know, with that, the games that are on that day. And I'm going to be front and center. And he will be really, really motivated to put in a big performance, because rightly so, he considers himself one of the best forwards in the country. And he is. And that's why I expect him to have a big game.
What's interesting, John, is Ryan had a great game. Do you know, the really interesting point about what Billy Joe said there, though, is he has this thing about Ryan's vision when he's passing, and you, our listeners just heard the way he described it there. And sure, Ryan's assist for Owen McLaughlin's goal was exactly that. It was the timing, it was just the moment of seeing what was opening up in front of him and laying off the pass. Like, I mean, everyone says no one's tracking the runner, but you need a good pass to make all that work.
You do, and that pass was evident more than once in Killarney on Saturday, Robin. It's a very difficult pass to execute, obviously, because it's this reversible pass, given its speed, and you're kind of trying to disguise it as well, because that just opened it up perfectly for Owen. But I mean, Ryan was obviously the recipient of a few of those as well, and I think that was the great thing about our attack the last day, was the variety of it. You know, it wasn't just getting David Clifford on the ball, because that's the problem with Kerry, isn't it? Like, they tend to rely on him too much, and you can look at his 8 points, but there's not a great spread of scorers apart from that. And if you look at it, all of our 6 starting forwards scored, as did Matty Ruan twice, as did Owen McLaughlin, as did Paddy Durkin, as did Pádraig Ó HÉireann. So we had a really big spread of scorers on the day. And that was thanks largely to the variety at which we attacked. And as you said, like the pass that Ryan gave that unpicked the lock for Owen McLaughlin was just one of those. But what a one.
One more link to Tony Lean is, I think he noted a stat on exactly on what you were saying there. Mayo had 11 scorers and Kerry had 5. So that just underlines your point there, John.
Yeah, it is an interesting thing, Rob, because I mean, we saw that the day that Tyrone beat them. It was as if everybody else was afraid to shoot. You know, it was as if everything, it's almost, do you remember back in the day, you know, everything had to go through Kieran McDonald. We kind of felt that. And others were in the shadows because of that. And I think there's an element of that with Kerry, that everything has to go through Clifford. And also as well, I don't know if you know, it was only on the rewatch that it struck me. Every time Paddy Clifford got on the ball out the field, what was it? Who was he looking for? He was only looking for one player, and that was the brother, you know, and that becomes kind of predictable, you know. And okay, Clifford got some brilliant scores, but if he has to work that hard and has to shoot them from the 50-yard line, that means he's out the field and he's not doing further damage. And I think we said it afterwards, in the final whistle pod, like in advance, would we have taken 8 points as Clifford's total? Damn right we would. So so I just thought that was an interesting one that I picked up on the rewatch last night.
Yeah, and it kind of underlines maybe Paul Gainey being the older, kind of more established player. It's funny that he's the only other forward that played well, because he probably can confidently play his own game. Who knows? That's their problem for now. Let's take you to the game on our little journey through the week of podcasting. Mike was there, John was there, I was there. Mike was commentating. Here's his call on Owen McLaughlin's goal.
They've all come in the last 10 or 15 minutes. Conroy to Kearney. Here's O'Donoghue looking to wrong foot the defender. Spots the run of McLaughlin. Owen McLaughlin with his first goal in the championship to blow this game wide open.
Yeah, we had that in the podcast at the end last week. So from Mike Finnerty to the first man I grabbed straight after the game as the crowd were leaving the ground, Martin Kearney. Always a great take. Here's a little snippet. You can hear it all on patreon.com/Mayo Podcast.
Kerry came in with a false impression of their worth. That was on the back of wins against Tipperary and clearing the Munster Championship. And I think just Mayo showed today, when they can apply themselves throughout the game and in all sectors of the team, then they're a match for anybody. And that was as good a display as I've seen from Mayo in a long, long time today. Not alone for the starting 15, but for every one of the lads who came in.
There's something I've noticed this year with Mayo, and you're watching them all the time as well. There's a control about them that seems to be coming from this management team, a way of controlling games at a tempo that's a little bit different than in the past.
It's a little bit different. I thought today, like, what I love about them is their willingness to kick the ball. The core skill in that team is their kick passing and their willingness to have goals or goals for points from distance. That wasn't the case in the past, and I love that. And again, when they had the lead in the second second half. The tempo and the pace of the game, they dictated it. They did it at the rhythms and the levels that they wanted to. And Kerry just didn't seem to have the hunger, the bite, the application or the energy to actually do anything about it. And in every sector of the field, as I've said to you already, they just simply were masters in every respect. And okay, David Clifford is a once-off. He's a once-off. And might have had a goal or two maybe in the second half, but Sam Callanan and Colm Reid made wonderful saves to prevent that. But overall, Mayo have got to go home this evening very, very pleased with that.
And on our final Whistle podcast, after every Mayo minor, under 20, senior, and throughout the ladies' championship, throughout the ladies' games as well, we will have a final Whistle podcast where we get instant reaction, our own take, and all the coverage you need on a game. So as well as Martin Kearney, as well as myself, Mike and John, we also got some post-game reaction. Stephen Rochford spoke with Mike. Here's another little snippet of that.
Are you surprised with that performance and result? Did you know in your heart of hearts there was a big display in this team?
Absolutely felt that there was a big display. You know, you're coming down to the home of the All-Ireland champions. You don't know what the performance will bring. Kerry have been really, really good over their Munster championship. But, you know, in fairness, boys had come back from the Connacht Championship defeat. Really, really positive. And we felt that there was we were moving in the right direction. We obviously had some returning players. The squad was built out, and there was a really positive vibe about them.
If you could break down the approach into layman's terms today, what was the Mayo approach?
Oh, I think stand up, stand your ground. Win personal battles. I know they're all cliches. People say, what does that actually mean? But it's, you know, it's to fight for that extra inch. And I thought the boys did that. They took the game to Kerry. We couldn't stand back and admire them. We had to look to try and take the game to them. And we did. And, you know, we created some early chances that we didn't take, which, you know, that was disappointing. There's still plenty to work on.
Talk to me about the changes. Stephen Cohen, Paddy Durkin and Fionn McDonagh, none of them start. Obviously, Paddy and Stephen come on. What was the thinking behind that? Or was were your hands forced?
Oh, well, look, you know, Paddy picked up a little bit of a knock when we just resumed training. Stephen had a knock leading into the game from about maybe a fortnight or 3 weeks ago, actually, maybe. And just, you know, that preparation wasn't ideal, but we knew that the guys that they were, that they were going to come in, and, you know, there was no issues. They knew exactly what was expected of them, and what they expected themselves. And you know, we knew it's a 20-man game, but that in order for that 20 to be at their best, 26 push to get in, and, you know, 36 are asking questions. There's 10 guys that were very, very disappointed not making the trip down. But I know when we get back on Wednesday night, guys will be absolutely tearing to make 26, making 20s, making 15s, and that's the position we wanted to be. It's only 2 points, and we need to get ourselves, and we will, reset and ready for Louth.
Yeah, and that is a nice summary. We enjoyed our little chat on the field as well, John. It was just brilliant to be able to just stand there when everyone was gone in the middle of Fitzgerald Stadium and see that scoreboard on the beautiful backdrop. See, Mayo had won. Yeah, it was a happy hunting ground for those who travelled, and they didn't mind getting stuck in traffic on the way home either.
Yeah, what a venue, though. You know, it's just absolutely majestic, isn't it? You know, with the McGillicuddy Reeks in the background. But I thought it was absolutely appropriate that we should record most of the pod at the area of the pitch where Mayo did the damage in the second half, and I think we threw the ball in on the podcast. We're almost at the point where Owen McLaughlin rammed the ball into the net. So yeah, no, it was good fun. It was good fun. It was good to be there, and good to be there in those circumstances. And I thought the post match stuff was great, and obviously club members would have heard all of that audio already. But it was great to be able to get that kind of instant reaction afterwards, and people would have had it. Obviously, had all that content to listen to on the drive home if they were taking the long way home that night.
All right, a bit more from myself and John with some news of what's to come this week in a second. But to wrap up our clips of the week, we have a couple of more interesting little clips from you. Shamie O'Shea was on the podcast during the week, a cracking interview with Mike, and just kind of talking about his kind of post-career following of football, and just some really interesting insight actually into the Mayo-Kerry rivalry as well. Here's just a short snippet of what you'll get if you log on and sign up, and you'll hear Shamie O'Shea chatting with Mike.
What makes a championship game against Kerry different or more challenging or special?
The thing that probably stood out for me, and it probably hit home really in 2011 when we played them, was just they tend not to beat themselves. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to go and beat them. They don't make too many mistakes. They make sensible decisions on the ball. And I remember feeling it during that game. Like, we were a young and experienced group. I remember thinking, geez, these lads aren't even playing that well, but they're just kind of playing around us. They're making good decisions. They're getting frees, they're manufacturing scores, and they felt like there was a bit of inevitability about the whole thing. And obviously they've just got a huge amount of talent. They've always had that. A lot of guys that are very comfortable on the ball, and you know, it's not enough just to play okay against them. You know, you have to go and win it. You're going to have to get scores, because they're always capable of scoring. They're always going to put up a big score. And save this again, they've obviously got a huge amount of talent up front. So they're probably some of the things that stick out for me.
From Shamie O'Shea, our last clip is Nigel Reeb. The Mayo Miners are into the Connacht Minor Final next Friday night as we record this, against Galway in Tuam. And what that means as well is they're into the All-Ireland Series, because guaranteed a quarter-final spot. Looking to go one step further this year, I guess. Not only get all the way to an All-Ireland Final, but maybe even win it. But most importantly, looking last week to just stay alive in the competition. They just wanted another Monday, as Sean Dean told me afterwards. During the podcast, myself, Nigel and John dissected a really, really good performance for Mayo, where Tom Lydon from the Neil kicked 2 points late on to level and then put Mayo ahead and win it with pretty much the last kick of the game. A brilliant score. But afterwards, just watching the Mayo players on the field, relaxing, chilling out, interacting with friends and family, we just took a moment to just think about the impact this has, because they're young lads, under 17s. But Nigel Reeb, no better man to put it all into perspective, a man who's coached underage football and senior football in his time. And he kind of gets it, you would think, after listening to this.
Yeah, but it is going to be the time of their lives. There might be a couple of these guys that'll go on and play for Mayo seniors, or play whatever sport at a high level, or do whatever they do very successfully. And you know, if they become serious businessmen and become multi-millionaires, it doesn't matter. These days are the times of their lives. Mm-hmm. And that dressing room, and evenings like this evening, the reaction when you win that game, the reaction from the players, from the sideline, from the Mayo supporters, will be no different than if this minor team wins in All-Ireland. And the Roscommon team, to a man, melted to the ground. They were so disappointed. Mm-hmm. Because when you win games in that fashion, and I was making the point earlier on, character is huge. You have to build character. To build character for 17, 16, 17 year olds like this in McHale Park, back to the wall, where are you going to get that experience? You can't buy it.
Nigel has become a star of our minor football Final Whistle podcast. He tells me he's on the road as well again next weekend in Tuam, and he'll be there with Mike, John. But I think one of the things we're bringing our listeners in that regard is something a little bit different, something that kind of, you know, even for myself and yourself, the night before the big game in Killarney, it just takes you away from it all, and you realise where it all happens first. Where did these Sam Gunn lads come from? They come from a lot of hard work in the coaching structures underage, in their clubs first and foremost. And when things are going right in an underage team setup like the Mayo Miners, and you cannot deny that they're going very, very well at the moment, it creates quite a good vibe.
Oh, it does, of course, you know, and Nigel was saying that as well. He was licking his chomps at the prospect of the two lots of forward lines last year's and this year's, and the emerging talent that are in both of those, and you could not but be excited about all that. They're a great team to follow. I mean, I was at four of those games in a row. Sadly, I won't be able to be in Tuam on Friday night, but the buzzword at the moment, of course, Rob, is Jeopardy. And there is no jeopardy in Friday night's game, in that win or lose, you're still in the All-Ireland Series. Now, obviously, it still is better to win because you then face a losing provincial finalist in the quarterfinal, and you get a more straightforward run forward. But you know, there will be another day after Friday. I think that's the bottom line. But what a match Friday night was! I mean, a rip-roaring game, and I think
stunning. In 2:13 to 2:12. There's only 60 minutes. About. Yeah,
yeah. 60 minutes of football. It's always been forgotten about because of what came the day after. But it, in its own right, Jesus, that was a fantastic game of football.
Yeah, enjoyed it, and looking forward to seeing them a couple more times as well along the way, both live and on whatever streaming services covering the games that I can't get to. But that's Mayo Miners. Yeah. Go for it, John.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Rob, you know, in terms of teams to follow, we're in a very, very privileged position at the minute because the Mayo Seniors are going well. They have serious momentum behind them now at this stage. The Miners are going well and have at least two more days out, and we hope more. And the women team, the Mayo Ladies, have won Connacht for the first time, and they head into their group stage of matches in fine fettle as well, and in a group that they should emerge from. So, you know, anyone who's interested in football nowadays, you know, you've got three good Mayo teams there to shout for. And, you know, I think I can't think of a better way to pass the summer. And obviously we're going to be with them, as you said, Rob, every step of the way. And that's another reason for people to sign up to Patreon with us, because we'll be keeping all those campaigns covered closely over the coming weeks.
€5 plus VAT. And think about this, folks. You can cancel any time. So you could pay your €5. You got 1 month straight away, just there. And you can see what you think of it. And if you want to get like a bumper time to sign up, well, why not? When we've got three teams on a roll, and so much to talk about right in the midst of the group stages. So yeah, it makes sense. Patreon is an app on your phone if you're trying to tell people that you know, loved one, friends, how to get it. And they're like, what is Patreon? It's just an app. Download it, sign up, and search for Mayo Podcast. You'll find us and you'll see how easy it is to subscribe. And of course, if you're interested, there's an annual subscription there as well. We can save a little bit as well. So loads of options for you in that regard. As we wrap this up, though, and recording on a Monday, John, we've got news of the Loud fixture. The GAA would make you pull your hair out every single day of the year, let's be honest. But this whole idea of looking at TBC on fixtures and group games is driving me nuts, John. There's absolutely no reason why not only should they have had these fixtures out earlier, they should have the final round of fixtures out as well, because people have lives to lead and they do like to follow. They want to give the GAA their hard-earned cash. They want to support them, but it's very hard to plan things when they couldn't be bothered putting fixtures that are there, written down in black and white,
yeah,
into
no.
detail.
I hear, you know, I've just had an old man rant on the blog about it. I mean, the point I was making is that if the GAA were attempting to annoy people at this stage, they're making a good fist of it, because this is just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. We've a fair idea that the Cork game is going to be played in Limerick. It could be played in Ennis, but let's be honest, it probably will be played in Limerick. But we still don't know if it's going to be the Saturday or the Sunday, and no idea what time it's going to be on. And that's just not right. You know, I mean, they're jerking people around at this stage because people have lives to organise. They've other stuff to be doing. And, you know, it that then feeds into people not going to matches. So they're actually shooting themselves in the foot here. Like, you know, people will decide their lives, and they'll decide what they're doing, and if the match can't be finalised, well, then they'll just work their life around that, and then that might mean that they can't go to the game, and the GAA are the losers out of that, you know. So yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean they created this structure. It was voted in before Christmas. They knew, you know, what the result of that was in terms of fixtures. And it's just indefensible. I really think it's a bad, bad show by the GAA.
We'll cover a bit more of that in the pod feed as we go. Incidentally, Limerick, I mean, Charleville's only down the road. Why not Tuam or Pearse Stadium? I mean, come on, since they're only one county away. I'm just throwing it out there. It's not going to happen, though. We know that.
Well, Ennis would be great. Ennis would be great for any number of reasons, apart from the fact that it's a ground that we love playing it.
Yes,
and
true.
Always we've won all pretty Ireland well. There. And I think it should be big enough. It should be big enough for the fixture as well.
Of course.
So I think that would be a good one.
Just one point, John, if I can jump in there.
I find it hard to warm to Pier Stadium, though. You know?
No, fair point. I think we'll set for Ennis with the motorway as well. Handy. But like, just one point, just you mentioned there about the GA's lack of awareness of this is, like, we come from a county that are producing a huge amount of income for the GA over the last 12 years by virtue of the fact of the enormous support that travel with the team. Take a Cork fixture in 2017 down in Limerick, since we're thinking about it, where Mayo made up 97% of the 16,000 people that were there. And we have observed ourselves, because we're well placed to talk about this, like a Kildare fixture last year in Croke Park that had one of the lowest Croke Park Mayo attendances for over a decade, a Kerry fixture in Killarney the last day that, as brilliant as the Mayo's travelling support were, and they'd match any county still for what went down there, was probably a half, maybe a third actually, of the 2019 travelling support. And that's not down to any lack of love for the county from all these people. It's just the realities of life and the way this thing is being structured and what they're being asked of in the modern world is very difficult for families and for people to plan. So people who went, fair play. Loads more would love to go to the next couple of games. But look, we know Sunday, 2 o'clock in 2 weeks' time against Loud is the next fixture, the June Bank Holiday weekend. That's what we know right now. And what we know as well, John, is we watch Loud and Cork next Saturday, the 3 o'clock, with interest, because a Loud win is better for Mayo. I've made it out in my head. If a Loud win would kind of create the less likelihood of three teams on 4 points scenario, and we just opened the door for Mayo basically to beat Loud and guarantee themselves top spot in the next round.
Yeah, that has a nice ring to it, if you like. I kind of fancy Cork.
Everyone
fancy
does.
Cork to win that, and I think everything will be riding on the last one, because you see the thing is as well with Cork, I mean, they now see that they're going to have a wounded Kerry coming into Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and they would absolutely love to deepen their woes. Kind of hard to see that happening, but at the same time, they won't want for motivation coming into that game, I would say.
All right, there's work to be done. Big thanks to Keane McNicholas, who does all our hard work in the background in producing these pods, and he's put all this together for you, these little snippets, and we want to give you a chance just to sample what's on the patreon.com/Mayo podcast site. So we hope we've done that for you, and a little sample of the thought process as well. It's been a brilliant weekend, though, when we finish on this, John, because this podcast isn't about going deep into detail. That's what patreon.com/Mayo podcast is for. But at the same time, just the bottom line for our listeners, how are you feeling right now? Those people who are just tapping in, maybe even from other counties, and wondering, well, what's the mood there? How high is your enthusiasm for Mayo's position right now after what happened last weekend?
I think everyone is satisfied. I think satisfaction was the word I put out after the game. I don't think there's any air of euphoria or anything. Mm. Because I think it's in some ways... We were recovering lost ground because of the Roscommon thing, and now I think we're back in a really good position with momentum behind us. But you know, I mean, we were talking about this over the weekend, though, Rob. Like the recency bias in the GA now is just ridiculous. You know, because you know we won the league. Oh, great! We won the best teams in the country. We lose to Roscommon. Jesus, we're out of the conversation completely about the All Ireland. We beat Kerry. Oh wow, we're one of the best teams in the country. So I think we kind of try and hold the middle ground. It's great to have momentum. I think it's really important to have momentum in this new competition. And I think the fact that we now have a clear way towards qualifying straight for the quarterfinal is great. But that's it. We can't say any more than that, because we haven't a clue how the next few games are going to go. We've no idea if we do get to a quarterfinal directly who will be playing there and what happens after that. I don't even know what happens. Do you know? Is it an open draw for the semi-final? I think it is.
Open draw for semi-final. The quarterfinals are seeded based on top of the group winners. And I believe I've heard and read that it's in Croke Park, those quarterfinals, as per usual. So that's what we know. But like exactly like you say, if Cork are to be Loud, then it's just an open door. Who knows? We could be playing Cork in a straight shootout for top spot. So maybe Stephen Rochford was right. It's 2 points and there's two more on offer against Loud. Maybe we just need to go that way, although... you know, rightly so, we can say, if we're podcasters, we have no, we don't have to be being tread carefully. We can safely say that everyone's going to say Mayo are at absolute pole position to top this group, and we think that too. So they just need to get the job done. No one's saying it's guaranteed, because we know what can happen.
Yeah, no, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's the same, as Kevin said, it's the same 2 points on offer on Sunday week that was on offer last Saturday. So we just need to go out and get that those 2 points, and then go down to Limerick, if it is Limerick or Ennis or whatever, and make sure we get the last two.
I don't know. I think those 2 points from last Saturday are just that bit shinier. You could polish them off, John. Just look that little bit better. Maybe it's the light in a certain angle. I don't know. Anyways, that's it.
Yeah, I think one of them is green. One of them is green. The other one's gold, I think.
You see? Yeah, we won't forget it. Anyways, not anytime soon. Hope you enjoyed our coverage here today. Mayo GA blog will have lots more of information for you. And that's the place to click on the link and sign up for the podcast. So get onto the blog if you're wondering on another option outside of getting the app and the download for patreon.com/Mayo podcast. That's it from me. Thank you, John.
Cheers, Rob.
And talk to you soon.